Welcome in, morning live. A lot to talk about. Yesterday was Joey Bosa release day. Maybe he's going to be paired with Nick Bosa. And this morning has been Deebo Samuel Speaks Day. Deebo Samuel published an article up on the Players Tribune, which thanks the 49ers and puts to rest any speculation that there might have been bad blood between Deebo Samuel and the San Francisco organization. There it is. We're going to go through some of it. I will run a more concise show early this morning because coming on the Pat McAfee show in about 55 minutes. So be sure to tune in to ESPN or wherever on YouTube for that, because that's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to talk 49ers for the first time this offseason on the Pat McAfee show with a lot of questions swirling, starting with Brock Purdy. Deebo Samuel obviously traded, or they plan to trade him. It can't become official until Wednesday when the new league year begins. Questions surrounding Brandon Ayuk's contract and the potential ability to trade him. The 49ers do have that article about the drop on the San Francisco Standard regarding that. I've got a lot of free agency intel ahead of the legal tampering window, which opens on Monday. But the 49ers do not have to wait to sign Joey Bosa, if that is indeed the path that this ends up going. This was reposted by Cheryl Bosa, the Bosa brothers' mom, yesterday. The petition to bring Joey Bosa to the Bay Area. So this must have been when Nick Bosa was a freshman and Joey was a senior at St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale. Nick, he looks very different, but also very much the same. You look at it long enough and you're like, yeah, that's Nick Bosa. But at first you're like, wait, who's that? He looks kind of familiar. And then, yeah, you realize it's Nick. Obviously, he's younger. He's a freshman in high school. Joey looks more like his current self here as a senior. They won a Florida State championship at St. Thomas Aquinas up over there in Fort Lauderdale. We'll be heading in that direction in less than a month for the NFL owners meetings in West Palm Beach at the Breakers. Anyway, Deebo Samuel Speaks. Let's go back to Deebo's article up here on the Players Tribune. So John Lynch said at the NFL Combine that there was no bad blood. There's a lot of love for Deebo Samuel. And there was a lot of love going the other direction from Deebo Samuel toward the 49ers. He said that the exit interview was hard where Deebo requested the trade, but that because this divorce made sense for both sides, the fact that both Deebo and the 49ers were able to face it head on meant that there was no parting angst from either side. And a lot of people said that, oh, John Lynch is just saying that. That's not true. Then Deebo Samuel comes out with this and he confirms that. And I think that every once in a while, this is a business, right? This is a business. And yes, there can be hard feelings. And it's not just the players and the coaches and the executives who can run into some drama. The fans seem to make so much more out of situations than is actually there. And sometimes it's just time. And that was the case here with Deebo Samuel and the 49ers. It was an awesome run. Five of those 6 years featured legitimately awesome performances from Deebo Samuel. I don't even say this last season, the game against the Miami Dolphins, where he trucked two defenders and ran into the end zone. That was vintage Deebo. I would even say the first 2 weeks of the 2024 season before he got hurt, before he suffered the oblique injury, that was vintage Deebo. So we could even say that 6 out of the 6 years featured really, really good memories. And I would say 4 out of the 6 years, so everything minus 2020 and 2024, featured massive contributions in gargantuan games. 2019, yeah, even in 2020, when the 49ers went 6-10, Deebo Samuel showed up. That was almost a coming out party against the Rams, right? When Aaron Donald didn't know who Deebo Samuel was, or he said, who's Deebo Samuel? And then Deebo went out and scored a couple touchdowns against the Rams. They're using him out of the backfield. I mean, that just wasn't as meaningful because it was early in 2020 and the 49ers obviously finished 6-10. 2021, epic season that he put up. It was the hottest name in the NFL in 2021. 2022, I always think of the touchdown against the Seattle Seahawks where he just kicked it into gear down the sideline in the wild card round of the playoffs, like an 80-yard touchdown. 2023, I think of the game against Philadelphia where everybody was booing him because he had called James Bradbury trash and Philadelphia was out for blood. They thought they had the 49ers again. San Francisco had something to prove because Brock Purdy was actually healthy this time, and they just went in there and they completely destroyed the Eagles. It was a total dismantling. And the player who led the charge of that dismantling was Deebo Samuel. That was just like a, you know, that was 2023. That was a season before this last one. It wasn't that long ago. Anyway, sometimes it isn't that deep. Sometimes it just runs its course, as it did for multiple reasons. The 49ers looking for cost efficiency. Deebo Samuel running into a lot of injuries in 2024. Brock Purdy, you know, emerging as the financial centerpiece of the team. So the 49ers looking for more separation ability versus bulldozing ability. It just made sense for both parties to move on. And now Debo's with Washington. And anybody trying to read more animosity into the entire situation than actually exists is not reading the situation correctly. And the evidence of that is what Deebo Samuel wrote up on the Players Tribune. I'm going to go through some of the highlights here. First, Deebo Samuel talks about going into Kyle Shanahan's office and requesting the trade. That was during the exit interview back in January. Here's a line that stands out to me. The relationship that me and Kyle got is ridiculous. You can ask anyone in the building. 1 minute, he wants to knock my head off, and the next, he's just going crazy, excited at something I'm doing. I've always felt like he coaches me harder than anybody else because at the end of the day, he knows I ain't no sensitive-ass player. If you tell me I messed up, I take it on the chin and go fix it instantly. So the bond that Kyle Shanahan and Deebo Samuel have built over the time since the Senior Bowl, when Kyle Shanahan coached one of the teams at the Senior Bowl and Deebo Samuel was in it, January 2019, is really special. And Deebo wouldn't go out and write this. I mean, it's 2,000 words. He wouldn't write this heartfelt goodbye, farewell to San Francisco letter if this wasn't real. And he talked about the meeting and he said, "We talked it out. It was hard in its own way, but more than anything, I was just proud of the way we both handled it as men." A lot of social media and a lot of the general media does not handle stuff like this as men. It's unnecessarily dramatic. It's gossipy. There is, you know, stuff interjected into every story just for the salaciousness of it that isn't really there. The 49ers and Deebo Samuel shook hands and moved on. John Middlecoff, he called Deebo Samuel, he loves calling Deebo Samuel a war daddy. There's a certain personality type and a certain play style that earns that type of high praise, that type of nickname. But Deebo Samuel definitely was that for the 49ers. The absolute gladiator over the 6 years for San Francisco. And it turned around a lot of games. It made a lot of memories. But that gladiatorial mentality is something that's going to be a little rough around the edges. You're not going to be playing nice at all times if your on-field demeanor has to be, "I'm going to snatch your soul and run through you." And that's the on-field demeanor of Deebo Samuel. That's his style. He is more of a bulldozer than a separator. Remember the original reason why the 49ers gravitated toward Deebo Samuel in 2019. Because the receiver they had picked in the second round in 2018 was the total opposite. That was Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis was a finesse wide receiver. He wasn't about to run through anybody. Sure, Kyle Shanahan liked his potential ability to separate, but then the 49ers realized, especially as they were focused on zagging physically while the rest of the league was zigging and turning into more of a finesse speed game, they realized that Dante Pettis wasn't going to fit the goal of becoming tougher as a football team. So they went from Dante Pettis to a war daddy in Deebo Samuel in 2019. When you do that, you have to take everything that comes with the package. You're not going to get a guy who runs over defenders, instills fear in defensive backs who, you know, can't even imagine tackling him one-on-one in the open field because he's just a brick out there. You're not going to get that guy playing nice all the time off the field. He's going to want to want the football. You don't just switch that competitive drive off. You know, the people are saying, oh, well, why did he want the ball more toward the end? You probably have never played sports. You definitely haven't played him at a high level. A player that dominates in the way that Deebo Samuel dominated over the course of his prime with the 49ers has a certain selfish, I am going to take over this game mentality that is an indispensable part of his skill set. So, of course, he's going to be frustrated when he doesn't get the football. Richard Sherman said too many mouths to feed. And then, you know, one thing about Deebo Samuel is that by force feeding him in some of the prime years, especially in 2021, the 49ers got out of a lot of trouble. Then they tried to force feed him in 2024 when he was coming off of an oblique injury and pneumonia, especially in that game against the Rams after he complained on social media, and it didn't work out quite as well. So the relationship ran its course because Deebo was in a different part of his career. The quarterback pairing, I think, is really, really important. And just in general, Brock Purdy needs more of an intermediate to deep separator, needs a more traditional wide receiver. So that pairing itself just wasn't something that fit the 49ers as well as Deebo did from 2019 to about December. Even in 2022, Brock Purdy was running more of the Jimmy Garoppolo offense. It wasn't until 2023 and 2024 that this really started evolving. But it's a natural flow that a lot of people just like to disregard because they want to make it more dramatic than it actually was. There's some more good stuff here. I've come a long way from Spartanburg, South Carolina, Deebo Samuel said. Young kids in the neighborhood running under the streetlights, all of us with the same dream. One day I'm going to be in the NFL. I'm really going to do it. I remember riding home from Pop Warner practice one day at Park Hills Elementary School, and my uncle Junior was like, bro, I'm telling you, you're going to make it to the league. Yeah, I hope so. I was like 7 years old. Then he goes and he talks about the Senior Bowl and the 49ers telling him, hey, man, I feel like you're one of the best players out here, and if we get the opportunity, we're going to get you. That Senior Bowl was obviously a big inflection point in 49ers history in Mobile, Alabama. 49ers just come off of 4-12 season, so their coaching staff was coaching the Senior Bowl. They also picked up Dre Greenlaw through that Senior Bowl. They coached him there. They coached Deebo Samuel there, and they were able to get both of those players. This is a great photo. This might have been, I'm trying to figure out which locker room this was in. It could be the Raiders locker room. But it's Kyle Shanahan talking to Deebo Samuel. Obviously, Brock Purdy is there. I think that's Sam Darnold on the other side of Brock Purdy, so this would have been in the 2023 season. What a shot. I wonder if this was before the Super Bowl. Anyway, this is a funny story. This is one of the best ones. And you got the great photo of Deebo, his son, at both Levi's Stadium, and then I'm guessing that the one on the left is in a suite at Oracle Park in downtown San Francisco watching the Giants. But, I mean, a lot of Californians and people who aren't from California and then head to California will relate to this. Deebo Samuel says that during his first mandatory rookie minicamp, he goes to Target to get a couple things, and he's in the checkout line, and all of a sudden the cashier asks, do you want a bag? And Deebo says, bruh, I know this is normal to some of y'all, but never where I'm from have I ever been asked if I want my groceries in a bag. So Deebo says, yeah, I want a bag. What do you mean? And then the grocery store guy says, 10 cents. And Deebo says, cool, let's bag them all up. And he's thinking to himself, they're charging me for a damn grocery bag. I remember leaving the gas station and calling up my stepmom. I was like, buddy just asked me, do I want a bag? And his mom was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, they said it was 10 cents. And they just busted out laughing. It was so funny at the time. One of the things that had me like, what am I getting into? Man, the journey is crazy. Yes, they charge you 10 cents for a bag in California. No, it doesn't make any sense. There are a lot of extra hidden fees in the state of California that Debo Samuel discovered over his time there. The gas is also more expensive in California than it is in South Carolina. But I just thought that anecdote, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those cultural things that you just go through. And when you're in California and you live there your whole life, you just kind of get used to it. But for somebody like Debo Samuel coming over from South Carolina, it's like this eye-opening experience. They're charging me 10 cents for a bag. And that's what he's talking about right now. In his Players Tribune article, talked about the Super Bowl. This part right here, Kendrick Bourne. That's a blast from the past. Kendrick with the New England Patriots. Debo spent one of his early off seasons with KB in Portland. And he credits a lot of his work ethic to Kendrick Bourne, which I thought was revelatory. We all know that Kendrick Bourne loved showcasing his workouts on social media. That was kind of a joke. It's like, oh, Kendrick Bourne, he's posting a bunch of Instagram stories again. Kendrick Bourne must be in the gym. And it was like 20 little blocks at the top of the Instagram story. It was always a lot. Kendrick Bourne always posted a lot. But it turns out that Kendrick Bourne was actually working really hard. It wasn't just something he was doing for social media. And Debo Samuel said that Kendrick Bourne was like big bro. He helped me adjust to being in the league in the early days. When I first met him, they were like, yo, beware of KB. Because KB early on, like there was a time in 2017 when Kendrick Bourne was a rookie. That was kind of Kyle Shanahan's first year as well, where he slept in and missed a meeting. And Kyle Shanahan was pissed. KB was telling me about this. He's like, I wake up and the meeting had already started 45 minutes ago. So he rushes to the building and he makes it in there. Shanahan was so mad that he made him inactive for like four straight weeks. It's like an early example of discipline from Kyle Shanahan. And he saw that Kendrick Bourne had talent, but he saw that he was going to sleep his way out of the league if he didn't show up in time to team meetings. So it was tough love from Kyle Shanahan to Kendrick Bourne, but Bourne ended up figuring it out. He ended up earning that big second contract with the New England Patriots. And there was a joke when Debo Samuel first came aboard with the 49ers. It was like, yo, beware of KB. But the veteran example that Kendrick Bourne ended up showcasing for Debo Samuel, I think, showcased this 49ers locker room at its best. Remember the dancing and all that. And Debo gets into that in a little bit. But meeting him, Debo says that Kendrick Bourne was exactly the same, the person they said he was in a good way. Bro was one of the coolest people I ever met. He called him Kendrip Bourne, not Kendrick Bourne. Remember how Kendrick Bourne dressed? We used to go out. We used to go eat, just do everything together. That was my guy. I spent an offseason with him when he lived in Portland. And just watch the way he worked. And man, I can see where that dude's still going to this day. I mean, KB is still in the league. And he's right. This is a super high energy player and personality. It was a joy to cover Kendrick Bourne. And I'm like, man, what a great blast from the past. Talking about KB in that 49ers uniform. So then he talks about Wes Welker and the 2021 season, playing against the Rams in 2021. That was a magical season. The memories. I mean, the draft class was Bosa, Dre Greenlaw in 2019, and Debo Samuel. Greenlaw was the fifth-round pick that year. Bosa was obviously the first-round pick. Debo went in the second. That was the year after they got Fred Warner. Trying to think. Who else was in that 2019 draft class? Obviously, those were the notable names. They ended up picking Warner was 2018. Tarvarius Moore was 2018 as well. Pettis, obviously, was 2018. I'm blanking out on the rest of the 2019 draft class. Mike, help me out. Mike is listening. I could go look it up in a little bit. Talking about Leonard Hankerson. This is the money part of it. Read this. I'm not going to lie. A lot of people think it's easy. I promise you nothing about this is easy. The organization is top tier, world class, from John York, Jed York, effing John Lynch. Don't want to trigger any of the language tripwires on YouTube, but he calls him effing John Lynch. Parag, my receiver coach, Hank, that's Leonard Hankerson, especially Kyle. I'm a firm believer in loyalty and being a man of your word, and that's one thing he showed me for the jump. The end of the day, these guys put their trust in me to help turn their organization around, and I'll forever be grateful for that. And thank God I was able to come in and make a difference. Anyway, Deebo Samuel did come in and make a difference. It was a huge difference. Again, they go from Dante Pettis to Deebo Samuel. Total attitude shift, 180-degree change for the 49ers between 2018 and 2019. And look where it led San Francisco. It's been a lot of success, a lot of good entertainment for fans. We all understand that there's been a lot of heartbreak as well, but that's life. And if your life is filled with as much entertainment as the 49ers have been able to bring over the past 5 years, then you've actually, I think, lived a pretty damn good life. Like, not every sports fan gets to experience the big games and the highs. And I get it, the lows have come too, but has gotten to experience the big games and the highs that the 49ers have delivered since that 2019 season. And Deebo Samuel was a big, big part of that effort. So I think this whole thing is an exercise in perspective. And I think it's shown the true colors of some people who are trying to jeer Deebo Samuel on the way out. But it's just not reality. This is somebody who contributed a lot to the 49ers. And now, as he moves on to Washington, they're wishing him the best. And there's no bad blood between San Francisco and Deebo Samuel. All right, let's move on to this. This is Joey Bosa. Let's talk about Joey Bosa and cost efficiency, since we could take a look at Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa there together at St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale. This is back in the day. This is probably, 2013, I want to say. A little while ago, because they didn't overlap at Ohio State. I mistakenly said that they did. I thought that there might have been a redshirt year in there, but Nick played as a true freshman, and his true freshman season was 2016, and that's the year that Joey Bosa was drafted up high to the San Diego Chargers. Now, Joey, on the right here, was the final San Diego Charger. That is the last connection to the city of San Diego, which I find to be sad, because I'm just going to call them the San Diego Chargers for the rest of my life instead of the Los Angeles Chargers. They belong in San Diego. The fact that they're in LA sharing a stadium with the Rams with no real fan base in LA, I think is an absolute joke. The city of San Diego loved the Chargers very much. It rings off the tongue. The San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers just sound stupid. But Joey Bosa was the last San Diego Charger. That final connection to the 2016 San Diego Chargers is no more. He has been released. And if the 49ers do end up acquiring him, it will be at a cost-efficient price. That's what we know from this 49ers offseason so far. And I'm about to have an article coming up on the San Francisco Standard where I'll share it here in a little bit. But that article is going to go through some of the intel that I've gathered ahead of free agency. And part of the discussion is the cost efficiency that the 49ers are shooting for this offseason. And the thing is, you know, John Lynch talked about getting younger. They're the oldest team in the league last year. And he talked about having to cut down on the cash spend. And, you know, all these things are great, but they're not all mutually exclusive ideas. So you can still become more cost efficient and cut back on cash spend and also follow the obvious goal of winning a Super Bowl by signing an older player if that older player fits into the cost structure. And the fact that Joey Bosa has missed 23 games over the past 3 years, but only three this past year. But the fact that he has missed that amount of time due to injuries, I think will make him available at a relatively affordable price. He did play 14 of 17 games this past year. I don't think that his pass rushing was what it was before, but we do have to remember that the 49ers were the number 29 run defense this past year. They need major help, especially opposite Nick Bosa against the run. If you don't stop the run, you're not going to have any fun. Joey Bosa, even on just a rundown basis, say that you picked, well, I'll talk about this in another video. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because I have to come on to the Pat McAfee show here in a little bit. So I'm going to have to roll in a few minutes, but just very briefly, imagine if they picked up both Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, who's scheduled to be a free agent in less than a week. Mack actually has been playing better football than Joey Bosa, even though he's older and he's more durable. So think if you added that kind of talent to the 49ers, Joey Bosa could be your almost a rundown guy who could still give you your first down pass rushing advantage. I mean, he could still rush the passer. It's just not as dominant as he used to be. And 34-year-old Khalil Mack could be your pass rushing specialist for the 49ers. That's what cost efficiency is. If you're able to, it just depends on the price, obviously, but if you're able to get Joey Bosa on a rotational rate, and if Khalil Mack wants to go ring chasing and he loved playing with Bosa and he wants to play with both Bosas now, then all of a sudden you can have cost efficiency even with older players. Now, I don't know if Khalil Mack wants to take less money this year. I think there's a higher chance of Joey Bosa taking less money just because of the injury history and because of the familial ties. And we could talk about the family discount, but it's incumbent on the 49ers to investigate what price point can you get these guys at. Bosa is available to sign now. He is officially a free agent. He has been released by the Chargers. Mack, he's going to be free to sign or free to negotiate on Monday, free to sign on Wednesday, unless the Chargers swoop in and somehow re-sign him, as we do not expect to be the case. But there's a reason why the 49ers are not ruling out adding a veteran edge rusher even in the throes of this youth movement. And it's because it's not just a youth movement. It's because youth typically is where value is found in the young man's league that is the NFL, but it is not necessarily the only place where value can be found. And if Joey Bosa can come to the 49ers at a low enough price, thanks to the injury history and the family discount, if that ends up being possible based on his market, he can help the 49ers be better. And I think it would start with his run defense, the ability to set the edge. The 49ers were tremendously weak there. And it would continue with a pass rushing upgrade. They have Leonard Floyd under contract for one more year. And Leonard was fine for the 49ers last year, 8.5 sacks. But you need depth at defensive end. You need more. Yetur Gross-Matos, too. I mean, if you could add one of these guys, if you could add Bosa or if you could add Khalil Mack, then I know everybody wants to talk about Myles Garrett, especially after DeAndre Lenore tweeted Miles yesterday, and everybody wanted to talk about Max Crosby. There's still people asking me about Max Crosby. I'm like, guys, he signed a record deal with the Raiders yesterday. He's being paid more now than Nick Bosa. So Max Crosby is firmly out of the question. He never really was in a realistic discussion anyway, but Myles Garrett's requested the trade. The Browns aren't obliging it as of now. So you go to more realistic options for the now, and Joey Bosa is ultra realistic because he's actually available, and Nick Bosa and Khalil Mack is going to become available next week. If the 49ers really want to add some veteran muscle to the defensive end room, they can, and we will see if they deem it to be worth it. And I think it's an extremely intriguing time because there's a good draft class of defensive linemen, but defensive tackle is where it's strongest. I think the 49ers need to get stronger defensive tackle. We know they're interested in Jonathan Allen, the 30-year-old from Washington. And we also know that they're interested in getting younger. It's not mutually exclusive. You can get younger through the draft, and you can also sign a veteran or even two veterans to help shepherd potential youngsters around. So it's one of those things where football is a complex beast. The roster is a big living organism, right? You've got young guys, you've got older guys. You had Deebo Samuel in his article talk about how Kendrick Bourne took him under his wing. Kendrick Bourne was an undrafted free agent in the 2017 season who was waking up late, showing up late to meetings, and Kyle Shanahan was furious. Kyle Shanahan was making him inactive because of that. And then he grew into the leader that Deebo Samuel needed when he was a rookie in 2019. So you could see, and I'm sure that Kendrick Bourne had some good veteran leadership, probably from a guy like Pierre Garçon. Kyle Shanahan was a good leader for Kendrick Bourne. So you think about these dynamics in the locker room, and that's why you don't limit this to just, oh, just through the draft or just through free agency, because that'd be too expensive. The latter would be too expensive. And the former, building up the defensive line only through the draft, would run the risk of eroding team culture. You need your leaders in that room. You need to pass it down. And I think that the 49ers have a really cool opportunity to find the right mix and match of both over the course of this offseason. This show is brought to you by Public Rec. Public Rec, they feature the Game Changer pants, the really versatile pants. Comfortable enough for the couch, sharp enough for the city. For a limited time, you can get 20% off at Public Rec by using the code Lombardi at checkout. Just head to publicrec.com, use the code Lombardi, and you're all set. Oh, and when they ask you how you found them, be sure to mention our show. It really helps us out. Upgrade to Public Rec and feel the difference. Everybody, thank you very much. Pat McAfee Show in 25 minutes. Make sure to tune in. We'll be talking more 49ers over there. And, of course, maybe we'll do some cool stuff outside here. It's nice and sunny today in Nashville. So more 49ers videos coming your way. If you have an idea, if you want me to talk about something, you have any questions, drop them into the comment section right now. We will talk to you very soon.